Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Continued harassment and threats in international waters and airspace will not be tolerated. We have got that story plus critical mineral stockpiles. But first, the biggie, Clinton's to sit for deposition in House panel's Epstein inquiry. Have you heard any new Epstein news lately? Former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will sit for depositions later this month in the House Oversight Committee's inquiry into late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, according to House Oversight Chairman James Comer. Hillary is scheduled to testify February 26th. Big, beautiful Bill will sit the following day, February 27th. The Clintons completely caved and will appear for transcribed, filmed depositions this month. We look forward to questioning the Clintons as part of our investigation into the horrific crimes of Epstein and Maxwell to deliver transparency and accountability for the American people and for survivors, Comer, a Republican, wrote in a statement. Clinton spokesperson Nick Merrill called for the Clintons to testify in a public hearing instead of appearing for a deposition, writing, at the 11th hour, James Comer asked for a camera. That's fine. We can have 1,000 cameras. The Clintons will do this publicly. The Clintons' realization that a deposition would be recorded on video should not come as a surprise. The subpoenas issued by Congress explicitly called for depositions, and the House's deposition rules direct the committee chair to, quote, ensure that the testimony is it's so funny to say in 2026, make sure you tape it. Everything is taped everywhere, constantly, all the time. So why wouldn't this? I mean, I know George and Dick didn't have to be on tape when they testified about 9/11 together. To ensure that the testimony is transcribed and may also require testimony to be electronically recorded, including by video recording. A Republican aide said that these depositions will be conducted behind closed doors, not public hearings. That aide added that a location for the depositions is still TBD to be decided, as the Clintons push for them to take place in New York City, being the noted lifelong New Yorkers that they are. Last month, the House Oversight Committee voted to advance two bipartisan resolutions holding the Clintons in contempt of Congress for failing to comply with its subpoenas related to Epstein. For months, the Clintons insisted the subpoenas were without legal merit. Comer had pushed back, saying the Clintons were not above the law and must comply with the subpoena. Besides defying the subpoenas to testify before the House committee, neither Bill nor Hillary have been accused of wrongdoing and both deny having any knowledge of Epstein's crimes. No Epstein survivor or associate has ever made a public allegation of wrongdoing or inappropriate behavior by the former president or his wife in connection with his prior relationship with Epstein. It's just the dozens of women from 30 years ago in Troopergate, I guess. Also, no word on whether the current puppet and his Zionist Doge buddy will be deposed. All these links in the show notes, takeaways from the millions of newly released Epstein files, newly released Jeffrey Epstein files, 10 key takeaways, and just one gnarly note out of it. Whoops, we accidentally published all kinds of footage of naked underage females in the Epstein files. Thousands of Epstein documents taken down after victims identified. The government published dozens of nude photos in the Epstein files, so writes the New York Times. It's the government. So, James, if you thought Big Beautiful Bill's sex crimes were grody, how about Dr. Gates with Russian hookers and STDs and what?
Yeah. Absolute craziness. So I'm sure people have been following this, but there's a lot of interesting twists and turns and bumps in the road here. Like the fact that, so apparently that Bill Gates story is sourcing from an email that Jeffrey Epstein sent to himself, or it was a draft email that he didn't send, that he was drafting as if he was resigning from the Bill Gates Foundation, which he clearly wasn't. So was he doing this for his friend at the Gates Foundation? Like, what is the story here? There's a lot of things like this and, you know, the Trump allegations that are in some of these documents that are just allegations from anonymous sources or weird things like Jeffrey Epstein writing emails to himself that will probably, a lot of this stuff, at least the attention-grabbing, MSM headline-grabbing sort of stuff, is probably going to be debunked later on. See, guys, there really was nothing here. But there's a lot that is here and some crazy stuff. So I'll be throwing my hat into the ring. I'm going to be writing about that in my newsletter this weekend, 10 Things I Learned from the Epstein Files, covering all sorts of craziness like designer babies and GMAX on the Shadow 9/11 Commission and all sorts of weirdness going on. The Rothschilds, a Rothschild casually admitting that the Rothschilds supported Hitler in order to gain more power. Like, yeah, okay, it's there in the in these emails. Just craziness. So I'll be going through all that kind of stuff. Yes. But where have we heard about depositions behind closed doors, off the record, not going to be? Oh, yeah, this is exactly like the 9/11 Commission with Bush and Cheney, right? Behind closed doors, not under oath. Yay. Wonderful. So that will result in precisely nothing. And I think that's the real bottom line key takeaway from this. I think Thomas Massie said it best. Until we see rich men handcuffed and perp walked, this is still a cover up. That's it. So, yes, it is still a cover-up. And guess who's coming out saying it's time to move on, guys? The country needs to move on. Yes, Donald Trump. Surprise, surprise. Once again, the Epstein hoax perpetrator is trying once again to tell us it's all a big Democrat hoax. And it's time to move on, guys. It's completely absolved all of us. There was no trafficking to anyone. Don't look at the actual emails. Who cares? Move on. Well, anyway, we're not moving on. I'll be covering it this weekend. I'm sure we'll be talking more about this as more revelations emerge.
I would not be surprised to see Ghislaine sprung this year. I mean, all the other criminals get sprung after some lawyer whoopsie gets, of course, put in like a poison pill into the case. On a previous Epstein document dump, James, and there's been several of these over the last several weeks and several months. One of them from several weeks back, I was going over on my morning show, where, yes, they included things that were debunked and never true in the files that are released as the official files. The last one, the thing that caught my eye, including allegedly fake allegations of connections to Larry Nassar, the known U.S. gymnastics abuser who was an open secret and allowed to abuse people, and they made Kayla Maroney. That's why Kayla Maroney makes that face. They made her sign non-disclosure agreements. But that apparently, allegedly, Nassar had nothing to do with Epstein. But there he is in the Epstein files as part of the misinfo disinformation. We will be hearing about digging through these documents, I would imagine, for decades, James. And that is how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 618, our first for February 2026. We appreciate you being here for long-running independent media. Again, brought to you by you. Trump to launch $12 billion critical mineral stockpile to blunt reliance on China. Remember, don't give your personal info to TikTok China. Give it to TikTok USA. Grabbing this from, that's right, the rumored-to-be Rothschild-controlled Reuters. Trump announced plans to launch a strategic stockpile of critical minerals backed by $10 billion in seed funding from the U.S. Export-Import Bank, which, of course, is run by, Art Vandelay. For years, American businesses have risked running out of critical minerals during market disruptions, Trump said during an Oval Office event, of which there's no shortage. Today, we're launching what will be known as Project Vault to ensure that American businesses and workers are never harmed by any shortage. Washington has been moving to offset what policymakers view as Chinese manipulation of prices for lithium, nickel, rare earths, and other critical minerals, which are vital to making those awesome electric vehicles, high-tech weaponry, and all your other track-and-trace, fondle-slab kind of goods. The U.S. has stymied U.S. mining companies for years. That has stymied U.S. mining companies for years. The project will combine $2 billion in private funding with a $10 billion loan from the Exim Bank, the aforementioned import-export bank, to acquire and stockpile minerals for automakers, technology companies, and other manufacturers, like Trump's good buddies at Palantir, building a list of freedom. The export bank said it approved the loan on Monday. Rare earth and critical mineral stocks, including MP Materials and USA Rare Earth Inc., rose on media reports that an announcement on the $12 billion initiative was imminent. General Motors Chief Executive Mary Barra and mining billionaire Robert Friedland, who both represent producers and users of critical minerals, attended the Oval Office event. Project Vault is intended to help U.S. auto industry while letting companies keep related risks off of their balance sheet. the company, the official said, comparing the logistics of the project to it's just a Costco membership that allows for buying in large volumes. It's just Costco for pedo-Zionists murdering people around the world and digging up, you know, what all our rare earths are always hidden under other people's feet. Japan says rare earth found in sediment retrieved on deep sea missions. So they'll go from deep sea diving to, of course, James, mining on asteroids probably sometime after 2030. James.
Right. Yeah, this is one of those stories that people might just gloss over and whatever. There's some rare earth thing. Who cares? I think this is actually incredibly important for the geostrategic way that Cold War 2.0 is forming. And what it is really about is about supply lines and is about the supplies that are being supplied through those supply lines, like gallium and cesium and yttrium and all these other weird things that the most average people on the street would have no idea what even is. Who cares? But it's for industrial uses for all sorts of high-tech gadgetry. And yeah, the kinds of stuff that ends up in your smart fondle slab device, tracking device, etc. And it's exceptionally important to the global economy. And in order to give the context for this, I will direct people to a very lengthy, very detailed discussion of the various ways China has been weaponizing the periodic table. That is the name of this article from Golden Geopolitics. Hat tip to my reportage publisher, Tim Lacey, who sent this this article to me. And it, oh my God, it is just a wealth of information on this subject for people who want to start diving down that rabbit hole. I will have more to say about this in the future because I think this is the key that unlocks a lot of the mysteries that are on the table right now, like the Trump obsession with Greenland, etc. What is this all about? Northern Corridor, supply lines, rare earths, these sorts of things are going to be determinative factors in the coming wars of the future, including one that may be on the table sooner rather than later, from what I understand.
James, of course, we talked about the precious AU on the periodic table last week, of course, gold and silver. But we will end with the end. As someone once said, World War III starts in Iran. U.S. shoots down Iranian drone approaching aircraft carrier in Arabian Sea. A U.S. fighter jet shot down an Iranian drone in the Arabian Sea early Tuesday after it aggressively approached an American aircraft carrier. It was about to take down the whole aircraft carrier. USS Abraham Lincoln was transiting the Arabian Sea approximately 500 miles from Iran's southern coast when an Iranian Shahid 139 drone unnecessarily maneuvered towards the ship. The Iranian drone continued to fly towards the ship despite de-escalatory measures taken by U.S. forces operating in international waters, so said spokesman Captain Tim Hawkins of CENTCOM. That's not the first time, of course, the Trump admin has used the word de-escalatory in this last week. That's what they're doing now in Minneapolis. An F-35C fighter jet launched from the carrier shot down the drone in self-defense to protect the vessel and its crew, Hawkins said. No U.S. service members were injured and no American, precious American equipment was damaged. Later that Tuesday, in the Strait of Hormuz, two boats belonging to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and a Mohairier drone approached a U.S.-flagged, U.S.-crewed commercial vessel and threatened to board it and seize it. Look, they're the captain now. Hawkins said a U.S.-guided missile destroyer responded and is currently escorting the merchant ship. CENTCOM forces are operating at the highest levels of professionalism and ensuring the safety of U.S. personnel, ships, and aircraft in the precious Middle East. Continued Iranian harassment and threats in international waters will not be tolerated. Iran's unnecessary aggression near U.S. forces at their back door, regional partners, and commercial vessels increases risks of collision, miscalculation, and regional destabilization, any and all of which they will use to gin up some type of war event on a very speculative attack, whether that's, something in the 1960s or something last couple of weeks ago. Iran conditionally agrees to nuclear talks with U.S. That would be the first since Trump's military strikes last summer. Fantasies of fragmenting Iran only serve Israeli interests. That coming from Libertarian Institute. Iran protesters include Mossad and MEK agents. and the strange one meet the former fashion blogger slash shady doctor behind 30,000 dead Iran PSYOP. James, did you see the tweet from former CIA Director Mike Pompeo saying that we are with all those Iranians marching in the street and know that for every one of those marching in the street, we say hello to them and the Mossad agent marching next to them?
Yes, I did hear about that. And does that surprise anyone? Of course, of course. And it's just saying the quiet part out loud for various reasons. I hope people will check out that last article you're referencing about the former fashion blogger and the 30,000 dead lie. It's a great takedown and expose of how that happened and how this one anonymous source gets unquestioningly repeated based on an estimate, just sort of a back of the envelope estimate that doesn't make any sense and can't possibly be true, and then gets reported and then gets essentially cemented into the narrative. There's 30,000 dead in Iran. We must go in. Because if people are dying in protests, then that means other people should come in and invade them. Hey, wait, what's going on in the US right now? Anyway, whatever. Meanwhile, in reality, the exact same people who have been crying about the 30,000 Iranian protesters, honestly, it's 30,000 of them, guys, are the same people who said, oh, you know, that 70,000 dead in Gaza is just a totally made up number by those lying Hamas liars. Oh, wait. Latest update. Israel surrenders to the truth, admits 70,000 killed in Gaza. That's right. The IDF official estimate is now 70,000 confirmed dead in Gaza. So there you go. But apparently that's okay. But the 30,000 that totally happened in Iran. Anyway, on the Iran war story, so of course there has been this big buildup, and there was a lot of expectation around something developing February 1st. There was all sorts of forces deployed across the region, logistical chains aligned, operational scenarios prepared, etc. It did not eventuate in the war that we were expecting, at least not yet. There's a good article up on Global Research about that. Iran, a U.S. demurral is not necessarily a de-escalation, which talks about some of the reasons why perhaps Washington is not pulling the trigger quite yet. Incomplete regional missile defense readiness, alliance vulnerabilities in the region, U.S. domestic political constraints, and diplomatic initiatives by none other than Russia. But perhaps the biggest part of the calculation is Washington's understanding that it needs to demonstrate resolve and sustain deterrence while remaining acutely aware that a direct strike on Iran carries the potential to trigger a cascading regional response. And I think that's the point. This is what I mean when I'm talking about World War III starts in Iran. It is not that there is one big confrontation that's going to happen in Iran. It's that all of the forces and things that are being deployed in order to wage a major theater war in the Middle East are forces that will not be deployable for Ukraine or Taiwan or anywhere else in the world. And that's the point at which China and Russia and other people on the geopolitical table start making their calculation. Well, then there's obviously a distraction there. We can make our move over here. And what are you going to do about it? That's the point at which the entire Game of Thrones becomes destabilized, and you start seeing the musical Game of Chairs taking place, Game of Thrones, right? Anyway, of course, this is not to say that the Cold War 2.0 is turning into World War 3 is not a staged and manipulated event. Of course it is, but it, as I always point out, it means real people will really die in the real world, even if it is a staged and manipulated event. And that's what I think we'd all like to avoid. So again, I think we have to keep our eye on this, but we also have to realize that the ever-present Iran war rhetoric is designed to, I think, get people's defenses down and basically wear them out in the war of attrition that is going on in the info war. See, guys, nothing to see here. There's a big buildup and then nothing happens. Big buildup and then nothing happens. Big buildup and then nothing happens. Until there's a big buildup and something happens. And that's what we're hoping will not take place in the near future.
I have a 21-year archive of It's Almost War on Iran at MediaMonarchy.com. It is really, it's been a part of the entire 9/11 truth world these last nearly 25 years. James, you say Game of Thrones, and I know it sounds kind of silly, but the board game Risk. If you play the board game Risk, it's really quite stunning. You realize, oh, you have to go through the Middle East. Literally, to win this board game, it's built like the way the Grand Chessboard is built. So much has to go through this specific area. And again, just to sort of gamify it like that, James, really, years ago, and of course I wasn't thinking, I'm going to play Risk because it'll inform me on geopolitics in the real world, but it was only as the game was getting down to the nitty-gritty, it was like, damn, it is all about the Middle East. Now, a couple other speculative bits. What if they used sound wave cannons in Venezuela? We discussed, why didn't the army do anything in Venezuela? The speculative notion, James, that maybe they did use sound wave cannons, as they have rolled out in Minnesota lately. And what? I think the Epstein files say that World War III actually is going to start this Sunday, February 8th, on Black Sunday, Super Bowl. That's in the Epstein files as well. And see, that's what can let somebody like Trump say, see, all this stuff is all inflated out of proportion. So why should you believe the Epstein files? And why should you believe inflated claims about the Iran and Israel war? But of course, remember, always the best shady doctors are fashion bloggers. We run NewWorldNextWeek.com for our support. And you asked for it. T-shirts are back in stock, and we've got triple X sizes. We've got all the big sizes that people have asked for by special request. You can find those back in stock at newworldnextweek.com. And I don't feel like I've mentioned in a long time, the post office box. For people who don't do digital money, and you might be thinking a lot about that lately with the funny world of money, the post office box always works. The mailing address is always down in the show notes. For my address here in New Mexico, you can support us both with a check made out to Media Monarchy. Just include an email address if you want some follow-up or some membership access. And indeed, I play the unpublished exclusive audio recording of these New World Next Week episodes before they are published anywhere. Only me and Brock and James of Sean have heard them. And there is 618, James.
That's going to do it. Thank you again for your work. Looking forward to doing it again.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, man.
Take care.